Thank you, Dan, for leading those songs. Dan texted me last night and asking me what I was going to talk about tonight, and I texted him about 2 hours later. I apologize for that delay. To let him know that I was going to talk about tips for studying the Word tonight. So tonight's lesson, I'm just going to let you know up front, it's going to be a little bit more seminar than sermon. I hope what I have to say and maybe some of the things that I had to present are going to be helpful for you in your personal study and potentially in your study with others as well. As we come to the beginning of another year, one of the things that we typically try to do is reevaluate. We reevaluate ourselves, we reevaluate our goals, and what usually members of the Christian community at large, the members of the church, trying to do is they might try to start a Bible plan, reading through the Bible, making sure to do it daily, because we know we should. And so we really want to get a fresh start on that and begin doing that in the new year. And then maybe you might be doing a Bible plan that takes you all the way through the year, and you go through the Bible once or twice in a year. You have so many passages a day and things like that. The thing is that as we talked about in our Leviticus class, what generally ends up happening, and I'm not saying it's this way for everybody, but what generally ends up happening is we're very excited in the month of January. It's just like a weight loss program. We're very excited in the first weeks or the month of January. And in terms of reading the Bible, we're reading Genesis and Exodus, right? We're getting through it. We're reading the narrative. And then we come to Leviticus and Numbers. We have a lot of laws, and we have a lot of names and censuses. Censuses? Not sure what the plural of that is. And we become much less enthusiastic. Our schedules change. The winter grinds on. We get sick, or, you know, some scheduling opportunity comes up. And our Bible reading takes a nosedive. Well, then we feel guilty about it. Again, you can liken this back to a weight loss program. Then we feel guilty about giving up on our resolution. We were so gung-ho about doing that, and we know that it was a good thing, and we really want to be better about doing that, but then we've given up on it. And so the guilt comes in. Well, how do I get started again? Since I derailed, do I go all the way back to the beginning and start over again? Do I pick up where I left off? Do I realize that I have a hard time with Numbers and Deuteronomy, or Leviticus and Numbers, and then skip past it to Deuteronomy and get on into Joshua? And then it begins this cycle of guilt and enthusiasm and then lack of enthusiasm, all these types of things. When thinking about the Word of God, let's think about it in really what it is. And then I want to use that to guide us into maybe some practical tips for how we can study. And I'm just going to warn you, there's probably about 30 or so tips. They're not going to take a whole lot of time. But they're just things that I sat down with a notepad and I just scribbled down, okay, so when I'm studying, here's something that I do, here's something that I've heard that other people do, and something that I might, you know, I think might be helpful, even if it's just a short bit of study. But one of the first things that I think we need to do is we need to consider exactly what the Word of God is. You know, when we talk about how, well, I need to be in my Bible more. Now, is that just a guilt thing, or is that because we genuinely recognize this is something that is of utmost importance? Now, we read passages like Ray read for us a couple of minutes ago. All Scripture is inspired by God. This is God's breath, God's Word for us. And so when I realize that God gave me that gift of His Word and His instruction, now I have a responsibility to do something with that great gift. And part of that responsibility is to study that Word and to come to a familiarity with it. Okay? So, in that same book, earlier in that same letter, Paul writes to Timothy where he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed." Once again, there's that guilt again, isn't it? as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and translations will vary on this, but I believe it's the American Standard says, handling the word of truth, accurately handling the word of truth. Now, you might have rightly dividing or accurately teaching or some variation of that, but the idea is the same. That phrase, accurately handling or rightly dividing, is a Greek term, orthotomounta, which means cutting straight. Okay, so I did a woodworking project the other day, and I'm very beginner at this. But I was trying to make all of my cuts as straight as possible so that the entire thing lined up and was structurally sound. All right, that's kind of the idea here, in that we divide the word, we disseminate the word in such a way that we can put everything together into something that is structurally sound and useful for both our practical use and for teaching to others. And so when we're looking at these steps, that's what I hope you'll keep in mind as we go through them. So we're just going to jump right in. Okay, so step number one, and it's something we've already talked about. Step number one for practical Bible study. I should also preface this. There are three slides here, three main slides here. The first group of ideas is going to be how we think about the Word and how we think about study. The second group is going to be how we mentally gear ourselves and we put ourselves in a position to study. And then the third is actually going to focus on the study of the Word itself and some practical things that we can do there. So in thinking about the first thing, that's a little bit small, but hopefully you can read that. In thinking about the first thing and getting ourselves in a mentality to study the Word, I think one of the very first things we need to do is remember the source. Where does this Word originate? Okay, and we know then, of course, we're reading 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, all Scripture is breathed by God. Okay, so we look through Scripture and we see that God has given His Word to His people throughout the generations. What they do with that Word determines what happens next. But we need to remember the source. The Word of the Lord is the same power that God used to create the world in Genesis. The Word of the Lord is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Ephesians 1:20. The Word of the Lord is the same power that saves us. Romans 1:16-17. It's God's power for salvation. The Word of the Lord is the same power that God uses to complete His will, both now and for all time. And it's the same power by which Jesus will be victorious over sin and death. It's that sword that He wields in Revelation, by which He conquers powers and authorities and whatever stands against Him so that He stands ultimately victorious. The Word of God, the Bible, is God's power. It emanates from Him, and so we need to remember the source. Okay, and once we do that then, we need to remember the purpose for that Word. God did not give us His Word without purpose. There's a reason He gave it to us. We just talked about that just a second ago. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It is the power of God for salvation. It's God-breathed for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. There's a purpose to all of that. And so we need to remember where it came from and why He gave it to us. All right? Maybe this one should be first, but I feel like when you got the first two down, then this one really kind of comes naturally. Before you ever read the Word, before you ever get into the Word of God, you need to entreat God through prayer. You've got to pray. You've got to entreat the Lord both to help us to get into the Word, to understand the Word, and then to live out the Word. Okay, so prayer is a very important step in that. Then the next step, I think, is we need to remember the people. And what I mean by this is the Bible is a narrative for the most part. What we're reading is stories about people who interacted with the one true living God. And what I think we forget a lot of times is when we're reading through these stories, we forget that these are people. These are real people that did real things and lived on this real earth. And so a lot of times we have the mentality that we dissociate these people and we say, well, why did they make that decision? Or how could they do that? How could they say that? Or why couldn't they see this? Okay? The thing is, though, is that we do the exact same thing. And somebody could look at us and say, well, why didn't you see that? Why didn't you say that? Why did you make that decision? And so when we're reading through this and we're seeing how people interacted with the one true God, we need to remember these are people. I think Peter's a great example of this. The ups and the downs. And there's a whole other lesson in that about how Peter's life is the story of our life. Peter is us. Okay, so we need to remember the people. Treat this as real. Another kind of side note on that, maybe tangential a little bit. We also need to remember that these people didn't grow up in America. Okay? We live here. We grew up in a certain zeitgeist. We grew up in a certain environment. We grew up with certain biases. We grew up the product of an American culture. And oftentimes we read Scripture with that mentality, with an American mentality. These people did not grow up and interact where we do. And so again, that all falls back to remembering the people and remembering the story. So again, this is one of those mentality things to remember before we start reading. Be patient. Be patient both with the Word and be patient with yourself. Okay, we mentioned that one of the things that happens is when we start these Bible study plans, or when we start just trying to read Scripture in general, because we heard a sermon that said you need to be reading your Bible every day, is we get so impatient with ourselves and we think, I can't do this. There's too much. I can't process it. I can't possibly read that much. And even if I can read that much, I can't understand it. You need to be patient with yourself. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You've got to be patient with yourself and give yourself an opportunity to learn how to do this and to learn how to be in the Word and to as Paul writes to Timothy, to rightly divide it. Okay, that doesn't come immediately. We've got to be patient. And we've got to be patient with others as well as they're learning. In doing that, as you're reading through, you are going to come across things that you don't understand. You should know that going in. Even the most seasoned Bible student is going to go into Scripture and read through it and find things that they don't understand or can't process. Okay? My advice, and we talked about this in the high school class last quarter, my advice to you is take what you can. As you're reading through, understand what you can understand and realize what you can't. Start that process by understanding, okay, I get this concept and I get this concept. It's just when I get to this part that I kind of derail a little bit. Set that to the side for just a moment. Make sure you've got that whole context and take what you can from what you're reading. And related to that then, resolve to continue learning. Once we're reading through this and we realize there are parts that I'm not going to understand, we shouldn't stop there and say, I'm never going to understand it. What we need to do is we need to continue learning. Because although we're reading something here that we don't understand, you may get to something three books back or three chapters back that you do understand that helps give you a glimpse into the thing that you're currently struggling with. And then you may see connections. And we'll talk about those connections in just a moment. But you've got to resolve to continue being a learner. Paul did that exact same thing. Remember, he talks about that in the Philippian letter. I've made it my goal to know Christ. And the implication is there is that's an ongoing thing for Paul. Paul, who wrote much of our current Scripture. Okay, so resolve to continue learning. As you're reading through this, and as you find things that you do understand, there are also going to be things that are very hard for us to come to grips with. Okay? We're going to find things that may not jive with our current lifestyle or our current sense of morality. But we realize that we need to jive with Scripture. We need to match up with what Scripture says. And so, first of all, we need to be honest with the text, and we need to realize that there are things that are hard to deal with. The book of Joshua is a very bloody book, and it's hard for people to process that. But we got to be honest. Yes, it's a bloody book. So now what am I going to do with that? Just be real about it. And the related thing, be honest with yourself. When we find areas that need to change, we've got to be honest with ourselves and say, yes, I need to make a change. I've read something. It is clearly stated for me as an individual or us as a group. We need to do those things, and we need to make changes where they're needed, and we need to match up with what Scripture says where we might not do that or might not do that yet. Okay, so we need to be honest with ourselves. Once we do that, then we need to reflect. Okay, think about what you're reading. You go in with a mindset that this is God's Word. You go in with a mindset that this Word needs to change me. Now when you read and you're thinking about those changes that need to be made, reflect on what you've read. Reflect on what it means and what it's going to mean for you. Take some time to process that. God knows that some of these things are going to be difficult to change immediately. So you need to take the time then to process that. So when we read, we reflect on what the Word says. Then it falls on us to apply what you've learned. There's not much of a better way to learn what the Bible says than to simply do it. That's what it comes down to. Okay, and that I think is one of the hardest parts. We can't just sit there and read Scripture. We've got to be willing to do what Scripture says. We've got to apply the ideals of Scripture. We've got to apply the concepts. And we've got to apply the commands. And so we put that into action. Okay, so again, all of these have to do with a mentality of how to approach Scripture. All right, let's get maybe more down to a little bit more nuts and bolts. Let's get down to the practical aspects of this. Okay, so as we're studying, maybe these are some things we can do, and I don't have these in any particular order. Again, I kind of word clouded a lot of these things and just wrote them down stream of consciousness. But that really feeds into this first point. As you're reading through, keep a notepad nearby, or a tablet, or post-it notes. Post-it notes are my favorite because I can stick them in the Bible and I can stick them out to where they mark passages, and I love post-it notes. They're like little ideas, and you just stick them anywhere. Take notes while you're reading. If you're reading a passage and something occurs to you, don't just think that you're going to remember what that thing was later on. Write it down. Put it on a note and stick it in your Bible, or put it on a note of something that you're going to look at. There are any number of Bible apps that are you can have on your phone or your iPad or whatever, and you can just attach a note very quickly. Or, like I said, I like post-it notes. I like to be able to just write something down in the moment. Take notes on what you're reading, whether it's a question or a thought that you had or a connection you made. Take notes, because you might take other notes and connect those all together, and they might be helpful to somebody else. Listen to someone else read Scripture. This is when I talked to Mary about it on Wednesday night. One of the things that I like to do, and again, there are any number of Bible apps that do this. You can, if you have the YouVersion app on your phone, it's the most popular Bible app that's out there right now. There's an option on there where you can listen to the Bible. It's an audio Bible, and there's multiple. There's the King James Version. There's American Standard Version. There's the NIV. I don't personally prefer the NIV as a translation to read. That's just my personal preference. But I will say this. There is a version of the NIV in the YouVersion app where a British guy reads it. And for some reason, that just sinks into my brain a whole lot more. I don't know if it's the accent. He also inflects very well. And I really appreciate that. But what happens is as you're driving along, let's say you're on your commute to work, and you got this audio Bible playing over your speakers, you're listening to the Word of God being read to you, and you might hear something that you didn't process the same way when you heard somebody inflect it vocally that you do when you're trying to read it and understand. There's a whole lot of words on that page. But sometimes it's just easier to hear somebody vocalize that thing. And really, to be honest, Scripture in its original form was a vocal thing. So that's not going against the original intent, the original method of Scripture being given. So listen to someone else read it, whether it's an individual that you know or a Bible app or something like that. And there's all kinds of resources out there. Listen to a sermon or watch videos about a topic that you're studying. Okay? You can go to just about any church website. Type in, start with churches with people that you know or churches that you've attended in the past. Churches where your relatives go. Hey, you've even got a church right here that has an audio podcast. Kind of putting that plug in there, by the way. You can listen to any number of sermons about any number of topics, and many of them have search engines that you can find a topic and find various sermons on that and get people's perspectives. You can watch videos on YouTube. Okay, again, this is thinking about resources that are available to us and using anything and everything possible to supplement our reading. So listen to sermons, watch videos, get perspective. Consult commentaries. And really, isn't that what a sermon is? It's basically a commentary on Scripture, or really it should be. It's a commentary on Scripture. So consult commentaries. Now, in many cases, take them for what they're worth. Okay? Realize where that commentary is coming from. Realize what may be the goal of that commentary. But still, there is much value in getting alternate perspectives on a verse or a book. Consult multiple translations. As I mentioned a moment ago, the NIV is not really my preferred translation, but sometimes it states things better than my current translation does. If I'm struggling with a passage, there may be another translation that kind of puts that passage in a little bit better method of communication. And so I process it better. You know, sometimes I might go to the New Living Translation, which is kind of much more of a thought for thought. It's very broad sometimes in its applications. Sometimes I might go to the literal translation because I want to see literally what does this statement, how does it block out, and let me see if I can process that a little bit better. So consult multiple translations. Use a reading plan. Tammy and I were talking about this morning, and again, all kinds of apps out there. The YouVersion app has one. I think there's a reading plan app that's just called Reading Plan. You can find Google Bible Reading Plan. You'll find them. And there's all kinds of them. You don't have to do a read the Bible in a year plan. That is not the only reading plan that's out there. Okay? You can read, you can find a reading plan on a particular book. You can find a reading plan on a particular topic. One thing I was thinking about this morning as Dan was giving his lesson on different ways that we can serve, and maybe it might be helpful for us to do as we're trying to consider how can I contribute to the work here. Find a reading plan that emphasizes something that you think of as being a personal gift, a talent that you have, and read passages that talk about how that talent plays into the bigger picture. And how you can better facilitate that talent. And what that talent can do for other people. If you're a teacher, find passages about teaching and communicating the gospel. If you're someone who relates well to people and having people in your home and inviting people and getting people together, look for passages on unity. Look for passages on communion with one another and relating to one another. So maybe try a reading plan. If you have a hard time reading the Bible in large chunks, find something that'll help to break it down for you in a manageable kind of bite-sized meal, maybe. And that will help us from getting discouraged often. As you're reading through the Bible, and this really does kind of go more towards a reading it cover to cover thing, but follow the story in the Bible. Okay? That's what the Bible is. It's a narrative. Okay? Again, we're reading about real people through time. Follow that story and see how those people change over time and situations change over time. But God does not change over time. See how that story plays out. And see how that story matches our story. Follow that story. Okay? Now, as you're reading, allow enough time as you read for your study to be beneficial. You know, I was thinking about how to relate this today and kind of what I meant by that. And I thought about Ted. Ted, you got a business that helps athletes to develop skills, correct? And that business seeks to, you're helping them to in workout programs and things like that. The thing about working out, and correct me if I'm wrong because I'm not the best at it, the thing about working out is you got to take the time to do it, right? You got to put in the time and the effort to achieve results. If you don't put in the time and the effort, no results. Not going to happen. So as you're sitting down to read, granted, you might have a small amount of time. You might have a 10-minute commute to work or something like that. But if you're going to put in the time to study, put in the time to study effectively. It doesn't have to be an exhaustive study. It doesn't have to be a Greek or Hebrew exegesis. You just put in the time. Take the time to stop for a moment and to read through and to reflect. So allow enough time for the text to be beneficial. And when you do that, read in such a way, and this is where the time aspect comes in, read in such a way that you can summarize what it is that you just read. You know, it's beneficial to read through Scripture, but if we don't ever get anything from it and we can't relate it, then it doesn't do a ton of good. It can do good, but it doesn't do a ton of good. Okay, when you read through it, read through a small portion, and then in your own words, go back and try to formulate, what was that saying? What did Paul mean in that particular, that 2-3 verse section? What was the Old Testament writer trying to get across in that obscure minor prophet? See if I can put it in my own words and maybe summarize it to someone else. And as you're studying, try to do it in a place with minimal distraction. That's where we have a lot of problems, right? Trying to study without distractions. I've got a big set of noise-canceling headphones that I listen to. I turn on music, and so the kids are watching TV, and I can turn on the headphones, and I can just kind of either have white noise or soft music or something like that playing so that I can focus in on what it is. I'm very bad about getting distracted. I have a hard time processing two incoming streams of information at once. And so study in a place and study in a way that you have minimal distractions, and that way you can maximize the benefit of what you're reading. Okay, so again, these are practical steps as far as the study itself, how to study. Now let's talk a little bit more about once we're in the Word. Okay, I've got my mentality ready. I am fired up to study the Bible. I've got my study place ready. I've got my book ready. I've got my reading plan ready. I want to study this or that. Now what do I do? How do I process that information? And how do I get the most out of it? Okay, again, just some practical tips. No particular order. Well, I take that back. This one is paramount in this regard. Context is key. You must have context to understand meaning. And it's not just that way with the Bible. It's that way for everything. You know, if I come up to you and I show you a picture of a family, this may not make sense to some people, but some people will get this right off. If I show you a picture of a family in Chick-fil-A and they're dressed up in black and white like a cow, how many of you can tell me what that means? What's happening in that picture? Okay, I got two right there. You know what's happening in that picture. That's cow day, right? At Chick-fil-A. Context tells you what's happening in that picture, even if nothing else does. You know from advertising that on that day, you dress up like a cow in the restaurant, you get free Chick-fil-A. Context determines how you process that information. Same thing with the Bible. Now, you're not going to get free Chick-fil-A out of the Bible, sorry, but you're going to get something a little bit more valuable. And context is going to help determine that. So when considering context, maybe think about some of these questions. What type of passage is this? Is this wisdom literature? Is this poetry? Is this one of the Gospels, and so something's trying to be conveyed? Is this a letter that Paul's writing to a church for a particular set of circumstances? What type, of passage is this? Who's speaking? Okay, is this Jesus speaking? Is this Paul speaking? I tell you a passage, and you'd be surprised at who said it. Let not one who puts on armor boast like one who takes it off. That sounds like something that comes from the Proverbs, doesn't it? You know who said that? Ahab. Who's speaking? Who's saying it? And why are they saying it? Okay? Who is being spoken to? What's the reason that this, or who is it that's being spoken to here? Is this to the Jews? Is this to the Gentiles? Is this to the churches? Who is being spoken to? And when we think about that, sorry, I went ahead. Where and when is this person speaking? What's happening in the text? Why is this book being written? So there you go. You got the who, what, when, where, why, and how. That's context. We're adding that in. So all of the information we process on a daily basis has to be filtered through context. Once we kind of determine the context, let's start asking questions. And I want to be very specific about what I mean by this. Okay? Yeah, sure. Ask questions about Scripture. I get questions all the time when I read Scripture. I have no idea what that part means. I don't know what this word means. Why did Jesus tell us to do this? We might ask questions. Why would this person say that? Why did the author use this word or phrase? Why is this passage included at this particular juncture in the book or of the Bible on the whole? Why is this there? Ask questions. But when we're asking these questions, I want to quantify this, okay? Or I want to specify this. We are not asking these questions from a skeptical mindset. We are asking these questions from the mindset of, first of all, I genuinely want to know what this means. And secondly, well, maybe this should be the first, I recognize where this came from. Okay? Remember back to the very first two points about mentality. This is all about where this word came from and what it's meant to do. So the questions I ask as I'm reading Scripture need to be geared toward that purpose. Okay? When we look at Scripture and we say, well, why didn't God do things that way? I mean, that may be a question that comes to mind. But the answer to that question may be, well, I don't have the perspective on that yet to understand why he did it that way. But I'll tell you what perspective I do have. He has a lot more perspective than I do. And so there's a purpose to that. Okay? So ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions of Scripture. But do it in a productive manner. Okay? So as you're going through and you're finding things you don't understand, look up words. I think of all the Asians, sanctification, all the words that end in Asian, basically. Okay? We use these words all the time, either in a sermon context or in a Bible class context or things like that. Do we ever stop to genuinely try to consider what do these words mean? Or take a moment to look them up, either in Webster's dictionary or a Bible dictionary or a Hebrew dictionary, to figure out what does this word actually mean and what's being said by it? Okay? So look up words. Don't get too hung up. Occasionally we can kind of get tripped up by that. But look up words you don't understand. Ask what they mean. It's the same thing a child would do. I'm talking to my kids all the time, and they say, what does that word mean? Gives me an opportunity to teach and for them to learn. So look up words. Look for repeated words and phrases. If you look at the book of, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, there's a word that repeats itself over and over and over again at the very beginning of it. It's the word comfort. And I went through and I circled every time that word comfort comes up in the Bible. And I mean, it was just dotted all over the place with the God of comfort comforts you. This is for comfort. This is for comforting. All of these things. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking. What's the word that appears over and over and over again? Well, there's certain words that appear a lot over and over again. Kingdom appears a lot in the Sermon on the Mount. Ah, that can help me to determine context. Heart appears quite a bit. That helps me to determine context. What is Jesus trying to say? Look for repeated words or phrases or ideas throughout Scripture and let those guide you, because they might be repeated kind of sparsely sometimes throughout the book, but they are repeated. And so this is a through line for the whole thing. So look for those. Look for patterns in Scripture. Okay? Here's a very simple one. In the Garden of Eden, there are trees. Those trees most likely have pomegranates and all kinds of fruit on them. Okay? Let's fast forward. God tells Israel to make the temple. What's in the temple? Candlestands that are shaped like trees in the garden. So, hey, wait a minute. There's a pattern for something happening here. Okay? Fast forward all the way to Revelation. What's in the middle of the throne scene in Revelation? It's the tree of life. Do you think there's a pattern happening here? Look for patterns in Scripture and let those help to determine meaning. Look for progression of thought in Scripture. Paul is very good at this, okay? We don't like Paul because he does run on sentences, but he does run on sentences for a reason. He's building a thought process. The book of Ephesians is a very good example of this. Chapter 2 builds on what chapter 1 said. Chapter 3 builds on what chapter 2 and 1 said, and so on and so forth. Look for how whatever writer it is progressing their thoughts and ideas. Follow direct quotes. And again, this goes back to patterns and things like that. Follow direct quotes. My Bible is very helpful in that it puts quotes from the Old Testament in bold. So I immediately am keyed into the fact this is an Old Testament quote. I need to now go back and follow that quote. And it will help me to determine meaning of the passage or why the person is using that quote at that particular juncture. Okay, follow direct quotes. And then maybe this might be helpful to you. This is a small thing. So if you are in the habit of looking in your Bible and you find those quotes, many of your Bibles will have either a center column reference or a notation at the bottom that tells you where that quote came from. Go ahead and take a pen and in the margin right next to that quote, just write out that passage. That way you don't have to stop mid-thought, now go down to this teeny tiny little text down here to find the passage, then go over to the passage, come back, and really try to pick up where you left off. Okay? Just write it next to it and know, hey, this comes from the wisdom literature. I'm going to go look at that to determine what that means in just a second. It's just kind of a handy way to keep that nearby. Color code certain types of passages. Keep a highlighter nearby or colored pens nearby so that you can say, well, these are passages about salvation. These are passages that specifically talk about Jesus and what his mission is going to be and how he's going to come and die. In the Old Testament, these are passages that foreshadow Jesus and those types of things. You might put them in yellow or pink or blue or whatever. Color code certain types of passages that could be helpful. And this one is my favorite, okay? And I'm going to show you a picture in just a second. Underline, bracket, draw lines like crazy in your Bible. And I'm not talking about random doodles. I'm talking about when you're reading through a passage and you write down that note on a post-it note, underline those words. underline that passage that really gets to the heart of the thought that you're getting to. If there's a passage that kind of runs together, and maybe it's a tangential thing that he kind of goes off to the side for a moment in an argument, or it's something that's all related and then moves on to something else, bracket that. Put that in brackets outside of it so that you know, hey, this portion right here is all meant to stay together. And so when you look at that bracket, you can keep that whole portion in context. Draw lines from one thing to another. Now, this may be harder in some Bibles, depending on how big your text is. But if something over on this side connects to something that's down here, just draw you a dotted little line from one thing to the other. And that way you know, hey, something is getting ready to be talked about in just a moment that connects to this idea. Or he's going to circle back around to this idea. And so I know now that to be looking for that. So underline, bracket, draw lines, do whatever you have to, but give yourself a chance. You're not going to always remember these things. Do it in such a way that when you go back and you look at it or you're showing somebody, you can say, hey, this maps down to this, or this thought connects, or something like that. Okay, so again, I want to come back to the passage we talked about just a second ago. Be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. And then accurately handle the word of truth. I know this is a lot. Again, this is more seminar than sermon. But now comes the sermon part. Give yourself a chance. Do what you can, whether it's all of these, some of these, a few of these, other suggestions that you may have. Do what works for you, and do it in small bites if you have to. That's fine. One of my favorite quotes comes from a song by the band Blues Traveler. There's no such thing as a failure who keeps trying. Coasting to the bottom is the only disgrace. Keep trying. When you're studying Scripture and you run across things you don't understand, or you get bogged down, or you get busy, or things like that, do what you can while you can, and be consistent in it. And find ways to make that more profitable for you. Okay? This is the most marked up book in my Bible. I love the book of Ephesians. Oh, you can't see it very well, can you? I love this Bible. Amanda gave me this Bible for Christmas a few years ago. It's got side lines in the side margins and at the tops to where you can write in notes. I mean, when you have a thought, just write it in there. Point it to something in the text. Underline things. Do what you can to help it sink in. You know, in the Old Testament, God commanded the people, write it on your hearts, put it on your doorposts, do whatever you need to do. But teach it, study it, learn it, internalize it, apply it. It all matters. But do it in a way that works for you. You don't have to do it in a way that works for somebody else. Maybe none of these will help you. Maybe you have some other way of doing it. But just figure out a way that works for you and stick to it. Okay? Write all over the paper. Scribble notes out that don't make any sense. Go back and rewrite a note. Do all those types of things. These are all very helpful for me. I hope some of them are helpful for you. Can we get together and study with you? Can we get together and study as a group? We'd love to do that. You know, one of the things that kind of discourages us a lot of times is we don't get together. And when we do get together, sometimes it's simply for kind of recreational activity. And that's great. We need to get together for fun. We do need to. Okay, that's how we get to know one another. But we also need to get together to study. We need to get together to realize that, hey, this is our common interest. If we're not commonly interested in anything else, this is our common interest. And we can get together and study those things. So if you'd like to get together and study, if you're not a member of the family of Christ and you'd like to study, if you're not a member of the family of Christ and you'd like to be baptized tonight, enter into that family. We still like to study. But we also have ways to facilitate that. So if you have a need, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that Dan's got prepared for.